I could do a bit of a reading from Susie Hansen's book. This is a one chapter of her book, chapter 22, called Seeding Planets, on page 186. I could just read a few pages of it, because this was a 1987 experience she had, where she went on a craft at the age of 32. And she met with this type of gray, a scientist gray that she had met with before, and she would have conversations with them. So this relates to what we're talking about. So I'll just do a bit of reading for this and we can talk about it. So she says, this is again her book, The Dual Soul Connection. She says, mixed species gray scientist, a geneticist I had met on other occasions, took me into a room in the genetic research area of the craft. So she would often be picked up on a small craft, like a flying saucer, and then taken up to a huge craft, you know, probably above the atmosphere. She said, we engaged in intense conversations over the years, and they always welcomed my questions, challenging me, provoking me into lateral thinking. His openness allowed me the freedom to argue and banter with him without feeling daunted by the gray's greater knowledge base. And a wide-ranging conversation took place between us on this occasion. He wanted me to understand that the grays are not just conducting research with our planet and race. Their research is far-reaching. They and the species they are linked to are master geneticists in comparison to humans. Rows of tall, white, columnar pedestals were spaced evenly across the room, each around 80 to 100 centimeters in height. Large clear glass cylinders stood on top of each pedestal, in which fetus-like bodies and a variety of species or creatures were suspended in fluid. The scientists explained the pedestals contained complex monitoring equipment to ensure the fluid around each different fetus was maintained at the right temperature, with appropriate ingredients, and tubes extended from inside the white pedestal into the cylinders and attached to the bodies. The scientists stated, many humans involved in their scientific research have provided genetic material, and some of this is used to create new species or enhance existing ones, but only the souls of the donors give consent. This is something Ian Holling talked about in previous videos, how consent is always sought and given. However, I queried the use of human genetic material to create species that many humans would consider to be Frankensteinish. He responded that these new species containing human genes were not being created for our planet, but would be taken elsewhere. Again, I questioned the wisdom and morality of this, considering the human genes belong to Earth. Was this akin to playing God? He countered this, challenging my perspective and focusing on the other genetic origins of the particular fetus we were observing. Those genes came from elsewhere, so why shouldn't the newly created species be dispersed throughout other suitable planets? Their genetic research also aims to correct genetic faults within the species, and use the example of how human genes may contain predispositions towards certain diseases, conditions, or inherited traits. These same kinds of weaknesses or faults occur in the genes of other species. The grays are working to create, not perfect, life forms, but mixed species with genetic modifications that enable them to survive well on certain planets. Similarly, they aim to create a better quality of life for some individual species through genetic modifications according to their home environment. All of these fetuses were being produced to survive on planets in certain locations in the galaxy, and in particular, in climates or environments the grays have already studied in detail in preparation for seeding those planets with new life. So this is very big and profound. They talk about going across the entire galaxy. We walked slowly from one cylinder to the next, examining the features of each fetus. Some clearly had gray characteristics, while others were distinctly different in every way. One particular caught my eye, and I was curious about it, at the same time taken aback by its appearance. The head was overly large with an elongated skull, enormous eye sockets. However, the body was small and fragile looking. He seemed incongruous and wondered how big This seemed in Congress, and I wondered how big the species would grow, how the torso would support this large skull. The great was amused by my naive thoughts, reminding me that I have had children and should know that the human fetus has a large head and small body initially, but eventually the human form becomes proportioned over time. So he stressed, this research is universal in nature and humans are not special. So I think a lot of us think, well, the Earth belongs to us, it's our human beings, it's our planet, and aliens shouldn't be messing with it. But his point is, well, humans are not special. Susie says, I queried whether this was interference and what gave them the right to create species, or even consider that a species might need improving. He politely invited me to consider how humans have degraded our planet and species, the effects of chemicals, drugs, pure nutrition, environmental pollution, causing changes to our physical bodies, emotions, hormones, brains, the list went on. So Susie says, he says, come on, think, you can do better than this. He's sort of telling me off. There are other species that have created problems in their evolution, and we are assisting them. We don't just improve the species, we help to improve the state of the planet as well. So the scientists explained the grays are one of a number of species involved in visiting planets where civilizations need assistance. They're able to aid what he referred to as the two systems, the planet itself, which they see as a living entity that can be healed and modified, as well as the species that inhabit the planet. They're not just helping humans, but other creatures on our planet as well. And he made an aside comment that resonated with me, that many humans fail to realize the value of their companion species. Extinction of species can be through human-created causes, such as loss of habitat and toxic pollution, or maybe a natural course of evolution where the demise of some species is replaced with newly evolving ones. We moved along the rows of glass cylinders and stopped in front of another one. A new revelation struck me as I stared at the creature and recognized a genetic input, possibly from a familiar animal. It resembled an ox. They were not just developing mixtures of what many humans would consider high intelligence species, but they're incorporating Earth's animal species in the mix as well. When this realization occurred, the scientists immediately began a different form of communication with me, as if to address any wild speculations or assumptions on my part, a kind of instant filtering effect through my mind. He quickly force-fed a great deal of information through my mind concerning the wider genetic programs and the way they are seeding or assisting other planetary systems. I consciously registered what I have the capacity to understand, and what was beyond me sank into my subconscious. Finally, he told me what I had understood was sufficient at this point. It was quite an experience. He commented that humans must eventually evolve past our belief that we are superior to other species on our planet. The Greys and their associates recognize the soul status of other non-human creatures, and they are aware the soul source can choose a life in any form, including an animal, if the learning gained from that incarnation is useful or evolutionary. The new species they create are life forms in which souls can choose to incarnate, providing experiences and opportunities for spiritual and soul development in an ever-expanding universe. So think about that, the ever-expanding universe, and they're kind of seeding life everywhere. These comments open new questions in my mind around how these newly created life forms become available to soul sources in the field of consciousness, and how the grays and other extraterrestrial species may facilitate this. The scientists also sought to expand my thinking by discussing their vast gene bank, how this relates to human survival and that of other earthly species. My understanding up to this point had largely related to their contact with our planet, but the gray told me their programs not only extend throughout the galaxy, but even into other dimensions and states of existence. We humans are only at the very initial stages of even considering life could exist elsewhere, let alone in another parallel or other dimensional reality. You stress it is imperative to understand their advanced level of research ensures species survival, particularly on planets with civilizations tending towards retrograde. No matter what humans may do in the future to our planet and civilization, the Greys have already selected, collected, and studied human and other genetic material in order to ensure the continuation of our Earth species. They can accomplish this either through genetic reproduction, intervention, alteration, or by introducing genetically engineered human mixed species life forms to other planets if need be. That's good. So he expressed concern about our potentially destructive course of development and outlined future possibilities on our planet, which will cause many humans' lives to implode. So he's got 3 points here. The first is widespread chaos will eventually cause people to become insular and concerned only with their day-to-day survival. I think of, you know, the effects of COVID in the last year. He says this will create what he referred to as a dead stage on the planet, as focus becomes confined and self-centered rather than global. And his second point is many people will stop looking outwards for a period of time. They'll not want to even think about space or what species could be out there. And his third and last point is the human psyche will experience global despondency and people will be at a loss to know where to go, even physically, geographically, or where to turn for assistance and guidance. Then she carries on. However, their hope is that this will be followed by a slow upswing of recovery and forward momentum again. Things will start to recover. There will be a deeper examination of the possibility of life elsewhere. May also be scrutiny of those who state they have already had contact with extraterrestrials. And we must be prepared for this. He explained, I need to continue to live my life up until that point without worrying unduly about the future. So then she says, when an examination of the concept of extraterrestrials visiting our planet occurs, there will need to be people who have this greater understanding of what these extraterrestrial groups have sought to achieve. The Gray outlined how in my later life, I would become a conscious observer, taking an increasing interest in current affairs and spending more time each day following what is taking place in other parts of the world. They will monitor a variety of human perceptions and perspectives through humans like me. And he reminded me that Grays have taught many humans to analyze using a variety of energetic senses to read between the lines of what leaders, politicians, and so-called experts are saying. So this is like people like us. She continues, we will need to become aware of overlaying agendas, humans against humans, humans harming humans. And I understood only too well, it was a different kind of human survival he was describing now, with an accompanying sense of deep sadness from him. His stream of telepathy fell silent momentarily, and I became aware of a spark of light in the air between us, which emerged from his forehead. So Susie is thinking, it's moving towards my head, I'm stepping aside. He says, no, don't step aside, stay right where you are. It's going into my left temple. He stated the super ball of their consciousness will assist me in knowing how to contribute at this future crucial phase in our evolution, describing it as a little bit of them speaking through me. So you wonder if this is referring to our time now, like this edition of the book was published in 2016. So, you know, it's like he's suggesting to her, there's going to be these crucial times ahead where your governments are lying to you. We're going to give you some guides and insight about what to do at that time. So we can have some discussion. Thanks for listening to my reading. I know you can't read too long. It's boring, but her book is so well written and so vital. Like every paragraph packs so much information. Highly recommend the book. I'll put a link below this video. You can get it off of Amazon, The Dual Soul Connection.
Okay.